Welcome to this slightly dented version of Technology Bites.
Slightly dented.
I think we have to speak
Al-dented.
Up.
Al-dented.
Yeah, we have to speak up to talk really loud.
We've been scratched and dented. Scratched and dinged.
We're having a scratch and dent sale. Yes, well... This time, it's always in keeping with Technology Bites that we have some kind of technical difficulty. This time, it's station-wide.
Not our fault.
Not our fault, either. All right, so welcome to Technology Bites. I'm Jay Lee.
I'm Peter Hughes.
I'm Flicted.
I'm Barrett.
I'm Dwight.
And he's...
Groovehouse.
He sure is. All right, so we got everybody here. The station just came back on the air, limping along in the last few hours, from what I understand. I had gone... probably a full 3 days without realizing that KPFT was even off the air. I feel so ashamed.
Yeah, Dwight called it to my attention.
So, yeah, I had one of my coworkers call me on my cell phone at home and said, is there a problem with KPFT? It's like, I guess, I would have sounded like a much better KPFT citizen if I had had all the info. But it's like, I don't know. I didn't hear anything. But thank God the broadcast is back in time for us to do our show. That's really all that's important, right? So Technology Bites. We were looking at having to fill 2 hours of we're going to stream, regardless of whether or not we are broadcasting over the airwaves, we are streaming to the internet. So there was still going to be a show.
We were going to be podcasters.
We're going to be podcasters, live podcasting, and... as Pete mentioned on Twitter, we were probably going to have... It was going to be a slow phone day, so we were trying real hard, but we at least commented on the fact that we're going to have to fill in the gaps and provide actual entertainment and information instead of relying on the listeners to carry us the way we usually do. But thank God they got the transmitter working again. Now, it's not 100%, so apparently the quality of the signal may not be as good as it has been in the past. Yeah.
What?
Hello, what?
Hello?
Hello, eh?
But they are continuing to work on it, and fundraiser is just around the corner, so I'm sure there'll be an extra push for you to subscribe to KPFT so we can pay for... I mean, we're just not... these storms are crazy, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think I've seen that. Crazy storm. Tornadoes are not just for trailer parks anymore, so they're taking everybody out now.
Lightning strikes.
It's all the storms. Concrete. What?
All the concrete.
All the concrete?
The humidity attracts the lightning.
It does. Really?
Maybe.
All right, Tim Heller Groovehouse, or...
Dr. Groovehouse.
Tim Foil Hat Groovehouse.
Okay, there you go. That'll
work. Well, Groovehouse could be a meteorologist. I don't know what the qualifications are. Apparently, getting the weather right isn't one of them.
The old
I was sitting there and I were having this conversation, like, being a weatherman has got to be the best job in the world because you're not. There's no accountability. I mean, you could be wrong all the time.
Didn't once Nicolas Cage do a movie about being the weatherman? He did a weatherman movie.
Yeah, he did.
I missed that one.
That hiss suddenly went away.
Yep.
Well, it came back. I think I was Pete muting himself.
Oh.
Yep, it's Pete.
That's Pete.
I thought that was our low power.
No, if there's going to be hiss, it'll be high-powered. High-powered hiss. All right, well, you can check us out online. The website, as far as I know, is still up, geekradio.com. We're also hanging out on IRC, irc.cuckoo.com, and the channel Tech Bytes. You can either use your own IRC client, if you're so inclined, and connect to irc.cuckoo.com and join the channel. Or if you're unfamiliar with IRC, feel free to use the IRC client that we provide on our website. It's the show within a show. And I got mine just now launching up, so I don't know who's in there, but I'm sure we've got the cast of regular characters in there. Yep, 11 people hanging out with us in IRC, and you can be part of that group. And the phone number, 713-526-5738, for those of you that wish to participate during the show. We do like your calls and questions, and we try to answer those the best we can.
The Nicolas Cage movie?
Yeah.
It was called The Weatherman.
The Weatherman? not to be confused with Anchorman, the Anchorman, or whatever. Apparently, though, they're making a sequel to Anchorman, I heard.
Excellent.
I love Lamp. All right. Flicked it, are you all right? Did you have a good... Mm-hmm. It was nice bike riding weather outside.
Yeah, it's been really nice.
It's pretty cooperative. Barrett didn't ride his bike.
I chose to get here.
He opted for reliability.
Well, you made it last week, though.
Yeah, you want to give him a push your luck? I didn't want to push it. It was too nice. I just, it's such a nice day to push a scooter, I figured.
It's too nice a day to push a scooter. It. All right, so we're going to get on with the show and take advantage of the transmitter and go out to San Antonio and do the Technology Bytes Info Shot with Peter Hughes. So let's take it away. Info Shot.
It's the Technology Bytes Info Shot. Technology news and commentary by Peter Hughes. Injected directly into your skull.
Well, I'm sure a bunch of you might remember last year there was the, there were some online courses, like Stanford had a big open course project where 160,000 people signed up to take free Stanford courses. Well, one of the professors who had one of the biggest classes with that, Andrew Ng, and a couple other people have formed a for-profit startup, a venture capital for-profit startup, to offer free classes online. this is like, there's some other things like the Minerva Project, Udacity, MITx, which is a nonprofit startup that's under MIT. It's called Coursera, and their courses follow a simple basic format of short Khan Academy style videos, 5 to 10 minute pieces of lectures with an assessment question embedded after each one to make sure you're on track. One of the co-founders, Daphne Kohler, says the format is much better for learning than a traditional live lecture. Quote, when you're giving a lecture and you stop to ask a question, this is from the teacher's point of view, 50% of the class are scribbling away and didn't hear you. Another 20% are on Facebook, and one smarty pants in the front row blurts out the answer and you feel good. This way, every single person needs to answer the question and retrieve the information, which builds neural pathways. For their initial launch, professors at Princeton, Berkeley, the University of Michigan, and the University of Pennsylvania are joining with some at Stanford to offer versions of their courses online. These will vary by discipline. Unlike Udacity and MITx, they include humanities topics like poetry and sociology, and some will offer live video discussion. Andrew Ng, the one who taught the big class last summer, said, I would have to teach for 250 years to reach the same number of students that I did in one semester with the online course. He said that sums up the appeal for himself and the other professors on the platform, extreme impact. So they've just investors have just put in money to the tune of $16 million into Coursera, and like I said, it's free classes. I don't know how they're what their revenue model bees, but if you're interested in getting some serious classes from some serious professors, this might be something for you. Can't say you can't afford it, or that you can't afford the tuition. You know, we talked about plans, about data plans, and you know, companies offering data plans for your iOS devices, etc. Verizon has just expanded its global data plan offerings with a new $25 a month for 100 whole megabytes, 100 megs a month for $25. That allows, this is international, so it allows you to access the web in 120 countries outside the U.S. Obviously, you wouldn't be watching TV on this. The new plan goes into effect on Monday, April 23rd, and replaces the previous $30 for 50 megs, $75 for 150 megs, and $125 300 megabyte options. If roaming users go over the 100 meg cap, they will automatically get another 100 megabytes for the same $25, being notified of it through text. Current plans charge overage fees of a nickel per kilobyte. That's $5.12 per megabyte for those of you who tried to figure that one out at home. That's for all countries but Canada, where it costs 0.002 cents per kilobyte, or $2.48 a meg. Downloading or uploading 1K in countries not on Verizon's global data plan, where it still offers service, will cost 2 cents. Of course, for that same $25, if you're in the third world, you could probably just pay somebody to poke you with a hot poker for $25 every time you tried to use your stupid data plan. 100 megabytes, I don't know, will that cover much of your even mail? But anyway, it is offered. I guess we'll give them credit for, you know, before it was $30 to get 50 megs, so at least they doubled the megabytes and lowered the price. But I don't know if they just, I don't know if they, that's good enough to get a thank you. And here's one replacing, here's something from the virtual world replacing something from the real world. Ooh. This is replacing late night lines, and the riots that accompanied them with Twittering. Yeah. No, Nike shoe releases, you know, the hype machine behind them is only rivaled by Apple product releases, except they've had, as you may have recalled, recently, they've had riots on the days they released the shoes. This has been enough of a problem for the swoosh that Nike has killed off midnight releases at its stores and will be using Twitter to sell its shoes. It's a crazy bold move that'll definitely change how popular high-demand shoes are sold for Nike, at least for the people who, you know, have to have it that night. For one, there won't be any week-long lineups at Nike stores, and the it'll be on its Twitter accounts now. And, of course, makes the Nike store accounts must follow, at least if you're a shoe head. Basically, the new Twitter RSVP system works like this. On the RSVP date, the store sends out a tweet at a random time to begin the Twitter RSVP process, including a product-specific hashtag. Once the registration opens, the people who want to get an RSVP have to direct message the store on Twitter within 60 minutes. And the direct message has to have the hashtag that the store tweeted out, the last four digits of some sort of ID, state, passport, military kind of thing, and your shoe size. Confirmations from the store get sent via direct message to those who have successfully secured their requested size. Shoes are awarded on a first respond, first serve basis. That's cool. So basically, then you'll still have to pick up the shoe from the Nike store on launch day. If you don't, the unclaimed shoe goes back into the Twitter RSVP system. This only affects Nike stores, so you know, Foot Locker can do whatever it wants. But as Gizmodo points out, it's sort of amazing, bizarre to see a company try an unproven method of selling its product while losing the free publicity that lineups provide. And also, I guess next time you see a Nike hashtag shoe trend on Twitter, you'll know why. But I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what happens with that. At least until there's riots, I'm assuming you won't have to do such things to get your Apple fix when new stuff comes out. In other news, Windows Server 8 has a new name. What kind of exciting name will it be? Chlamydia Flamdemaris? Or could it be Windows Server 2012, the Armageddon version? I added the Armageddon version because Windows Server 2012 is boring. Anyways, a wise man said that names don't matter because what something's called won't change how it won't make it smell less sweet. Microsoft has taken that wisdom to heart, spending 2 seconds, everyone hopes, in deciding that the official title of Windows Server 8 will be Windows Server 2012. In other news, System Center 2012, Microsoft's private cloud software for enterprise users, is now available for evaluation and purchase. I guess you'll at least know what year you installed Windows Server 2012. But, yeah, what a great name. Now on to some Mac-y stuff. Everybody thought about the flashback one, but now there's a spike in security threats about OS X that shows that the bad guys are starting to pay attention. The latest Mac security threat, a variant of the Lucky Cat attack, takes advantage of an exploit in Microsoft Word documents, giving a remote attacker the ability to plunder infected systems and steal data by hand. It's an exploit that's been around for almost 3 years and is completely preventable if you keep your system up to snuff with security updates. But the reason it's getting publicity now is because a lot of Mac users have been pretty lackadaisical about security, and so it's kind of the wake-up call. You want to patch your stuff. Make sure that you're getting your updates to your software, particularly. The operating system is pretty good about updating itself without much effort on your part, as you may have noticed. But things like Microsoft Office and other products, you should be paying a little more attention to have they been updated. The interesting thing about the exploits is that they're using the same techniques on a Mac as they use on a PC or a tablet. According to Dave Marcus, Director of Advanced Research and Threat Intelligence with McAfee, they're using rigged documents and websites, Java exploits, very much mimicking the methodology used in the PC world. Peter James, a spokesperson with Mac antivirus company Intego, said now that cyber criminals have seen that these techniques work, we'll be seeing more of them. Quote, with Mac Defender Trojan and Flashback, it's clear these attacks will continue, he said. Someone has peeked inside a door and seen they can actually work. It may not get worse, but it's not going to get better. So pay attention on that one. I mean, the only reason we emphasize it is because, yes, there's that tendency to just, oh, yeah, no, I didn't get Flashback, so I'm okay, and I don't have to think about it. At the very least, you do owe it to yourself if you're a Mac user to think about what your security stuff is. I think at Kaspersky, they have some tips. If you go to Wired Gadget Lab and look up the article on the latest Mac malware attack, it's got some links to some places that have some advice for you, and that can't be a bad thing. But who cares about virus stuff? Because instead, you can be a total Mac fanboy, and according to Macworld UK, you can buy a a scent that is supposed to mimic the fragrance of a newly purchased Apple product being opened for the first time. The scent, created with Air Aroma for greatest hits, encompasses the smell of the plastic wrap covering the box, the printed ink on the cardboard, the smell of paper and plastic components within the box, and of course the aluminum notebook, which has come straight from the factory in China. The creation process for this fragrance included suppliers in the south of France sending over samples of fragrances with the aromas of glue, plastic, rubber, and paper, which were then used as ingredients by Air Aroma fragrance designers to create a range of signature blend fragrances. They still haven't quite gotten the scent of getting a life if you want to purchase this. Because, you know, who's really going to notice? Oh, who smells like a brand new open MacBook Pro? I just don't think that's... don't think that one's in the cards. It's not going to get you any more romance than having a brand new Mac product, frankly. And finally, the rumor mill has, of course, been churning. A questionable rumor, though. I'll put it that way. But it just sounds kind of cool. So why not? Let's just throw all responsibility to the winds. We weren't even supposed to be broadcast over the air tonight anyways. The rumor is that the next generation iPhone, yeah, that's where all the rumors are about now, will replace its glass back with the super durable liquid metal alloy made from actual parts of the Terminator 2 guy. The claim states that the sixth generation iPhone... See how... Notice I didn't say the iPhone 5. Sixth generation iPhone, because that's what it is, will be made of zirconium. Oh. Surface smooth like liquid. Smooth. The report includes references to a general liquid metal. The proper noun liquid metal refers to an amorphous metal that Apple purchased the exclusive rights to use in 2010. Ooh. The company behind the material, Liquid Metal Technologies, revealed in March that it was paid $20 million by Apple in that deal. Casting some doubt on the report, it goes on to say that the new iPhone is expected to debut at Apple's Worldwide Developers Conference in San Francisco in June. Last year, that's not how it worked. We talked about that, I think, last week. Apple didn't unveil the iPhone 4S until well after WWDC and launched the fifth generation handset in October. This year, most rumors have suggested that it's a similar time frame for the sixth gen phone. It's been rumored that Apple will unveil its next handset in the months of September or October. So the metal back thing, that's not a new rumor, but at least it was kind of interesting. And as for the potential use of liquid metal, the company that owns the material announced in March that it had begun shipping commercial parts to, quote, several unnamed customers. Apple's liquid metal gives it the right to exclusively use it in electronic products, though it is free to be used in other industries like defense contractors, sports equipment manufacturers, and medical suppliers. The first product that Apple actually created out of liquid metal's material was an iPhone SIM card ejector tool, but since then there have been no indications of any other products crafted from the liquid metal alloy. So that means, did they really spend $20 million to make an iPhone SIM ejector tool? I'm guessing if you're a company that's got the value that Apple has, you can afford to do that at the very least. But I would bet there's probably something else. I don't think that it's necessarily the back of the next iPhone, though. So you'll have to wait for more cool rumors about it being made totally out of, I don't know, unobtainium. There's a good one. Anyways, that's the news.
All right. Wow, I hear this weird my headphones. Is it us or is it him?
No, it's Peter.
Okay, no big deal. We're experiencing technical difficulties with the signals, so we're a little extra noise, you know, as long as you can hear it.
You can also hear, like, shadow BBC bleeding over from somewhere.
Which has been par for the course.
Yeah, that's not the transmitter. That's just faulty wiring in here.
Ghosts in the machine.
Cokes in the machine.
Cokes in the machine. Yum.
We are sprites in the Mountain Dew world. All right. Don't love you and don't love me. All right. So we are now going to do the parts of the show where we speak to the listeners. We're doing computer psychic night. We're going to guess your problem and give you the answer, and then, no, not really.
Tinfoil hats on.
All right, 713-526-5738 if you want to be on the air with us tonight. We are just marveling at Dwight has this Windows 8 tablet.
Yeah, I got a. I spent the morning yesterday at the Microsoft store in Houston for a story that I'm working on, and I was complaining that I hadn't been able to get a tablet from Microsoft PR to try Windows 8 on. I've got it on a desktop, but it's decidedly unsatisfying on a desktop with its Metro interface, which is designed really for touch. And so the guy said, "Oh, well, here, I'll get you one," and he brought me one as a loaner. And so I installed it after much pain yesterday. It took me quite a bit of effort.
That's why they could loan it to you, because they couldn't make it work.
No. They actually had a bunch of them in there. So if you want to see it, you can go into the Microsoft store in the gallery, and they have some tablets with it running.
He gave you this one without Microsoft 8 working?
No, I had installed it myself. It had Windows 7 on it.
Oh, were you authorized to install 8 on that thing?
Yes, they authorized me.
Okay.
They stamped my hand and gave me one of those little pink armbands, you know, so I'd get back in.
Put the barcode on your neck?
Right.
Okay.
So,
they said it doesn't come with any support.
Right. Right. Well, actually, it did, it turns out. So I was complaining on Twitter as I was trying to get the damn thing.
That's pretty much
install.
All you use Twitter for anyway.
Right. And somebody from Microsoft PR saw it and sent me some tips on how to get it installed, and lo and behold, I did. And it's pretty cool. I don't like it on the desktop, but I got to tell you, on a tablet, it rocks so far.
I'm starting to see the appeal, or where there could be some appeal to the unified interface. I mean, you kind of have that. You don't really even have that on the Apple just yet. They're moving that way towards it because you have that kind of icon-based screen on the,
right, the launch pad.
The launch pad on Mac OS. But when you look at a Windows phone and you see the tiles and how that's all laid out, and then you look at it on this tablet and realize that it's not a mobile operating system necessarily, or specifically, that's actually a desktop operating system with a mobile interface. That kind of unified experience with your operating system, I can see, has a lot of appeals. But you're saying that you link that up with a Hotmail account, but you could link that to a Gmail account?
Actually, I linked it to an Exchange account. So the default email that comes on it will handle Exchange, which is not true with Windows Live Mail at the moment. So they're seeding some things from Outlook to it. It's got some, every app right now in the Microsoft Windows Store, and it has a app store like the Mac does now, that uses Metro is free. So I can install any app that's available. Of course, they're all in beta form. A lot of them don't work. You know, we put the USA Today app, and it kind of locked up on us.
When I saw it working, it looked really good.
Yeah, the USA Today app looks quite good.
I like it much more than the phone. But I could see now having it in conjunction with the phone, because you'll have... Now, when I was talking about tying it to an email, if you tie it to your Hotmail account...
Oh, you're talking about the login.
Right. You tie it to your Windows Live account, then it all the settings go to all your devices. But I was wondering if you could do the same type of thing.
Yeah, you could use an email and link... You can link an email ID to a Windows Live ID. So you could log in with something other than a Windows Live email address. And when you do that, you log in... Say I log into this tablet, and then I go to the Windows 8 desktop I have at home. All the settings are the same. If I make a change here, like I change my profile picture or background, it changes it to the same thing on my Windows 8 desktop automatically.
Well, see, I can see that do it. So you'd have to tie your Gmail account to still tied to a Windows Live account.
But then you don't have to use it. Right. You just log in with the Gmail
account. Hey, guys.
What?
I think you put Flicked to sleep.
Wake him up. Poke him. Poke.
I think he's done with the Windows stuff.
Oh.
Oh. Boy's got an Android.
Is it really you that's tired?
No, I was into it. I mean, I played it.
He likes it.
I like it. I've been kind of, you know.
But Barrett likes this other thing.
Yeah, I like the phone. Boy's got the HTC One S.
Yeah,
something
T-Mobile.
Else in there?
Yeah, there's a T-Mobile Android 4.0 phone. It's the HTC One S. HTC has had a lot of problems. They've been... they've been struggling. They kind of have regrouped, and this is a new line, a new design. They're going to have the 1S for T-Mobile and the 1X for AT&T. And this is a pretty nice phone.
It's a solid-feeling phone. Like, it's how I want my Nexus Galaxy to feel in my hand.
It's really fast. And the AT&T one will do LTE, which means it'll be even faster. So I'm looking forward to trying the AT&T one also.
It's definitely got a nice feel to it. It's not so light. Like, the Vibrant has a light plasticky feel where it feel, but this one has just a metallic with a little bit of weight, but not an overwhelming. You want to touch the Android?
That's a unibody, aluminum unibody.
Yeah, it's got a nice feel to it.
I like it.
It's not hefty. It's not like a.
You might not.
Groove House is squealing.
Squee! Don't squee on Technology Bites. We do not squee on Technology Bites.
I definitely didn't squee.
I know you didn't. Okay. When Dwight earlier used the test suck, and right. Then now he's squeeing. Dwight is secretly a teenage girl.
He's a brony. We know. He loves those.
That's not a wee. That's not a squee. That's a wee.
It's a nay.
Nay. Nay to the squeeing. All right, so 713-526-5738 if you want to be on the air with us tonight. We are taking your calls. It looks like we have one in the queue, but we have plenty of open lines, so we encourage you to go to the phones and dial 713-526-5738 if you want to be on the air.
Hey, Dwight.
Yes.
Have you played any music on this thing?
Not yet. It's got the Beats audio.
Yeah, it says Beats audio. Does that just mean they turned the bass up?
Dr. Dre was involved. Yeah.
Wait, is there a hologram Tupac going to pop out of that?
Does it come with headphones?
No.
Mm-mm. But it's got the Beats.
They turned the bass up.
Yeah.
I've got some pretty good headphones at home.
It is a nice feeling phone, and honestly, I think the design and the feel and the size is a lot better than that Nokia thing.
Lumia that
everybody
I had
was
last
hot
week.
On with the Microsoft OS. I think that's a lot better.
I will say that the Lumia commercials are very entertaining. Have you seen them?
No.
One where they just tell everybody that's been using a smartphone up until now has been in a beta program?
Oh, yeah. I've heard about it.
Thank you for beta testing. You know?
I don't ever see any commercials because we only watch stuff on DVR and I fast forward through everything. So people tell me, oh, did you see this funny commercial? I never see commercials.
Well, and I'm scanning through the commercials, so I DVR everything as well. Every once in a while, because of the actors that they have in this commercial, they make you stop because you recognize them. Huh. There's the doctor from 30 Rock is the spokesperson.
Oh, I like him.
And then there's a couple of other famous, semi-famous B-roll actors in there, but it's... But they're seeing two of those commercials, and they're very entertaining.
I don't DVR anything, so I see all the commercials.
Well, at the Microsoft store in the Galleria, they have all of the Windows phones. If you haven't seen them, and they have these tablets. If you want to check out Windows 8, so it's probably worth a trip down there if you're interested.
All right. Well, let's go to the phones again. I want to give out the phone number 713-526-5738. And now we will bring up our first caller, which is...
All right, first up on the show, it's going to be Jake.
Jake, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Hello there.
Hello. How can we help you?
Oh, yes. It's pretty much a couple of questions regarding about memory and CPU.
Okay.
Have you heard about the new computers, pretty much all those high-call all-in-one?
What
I call it all-in-one computers.
Which ones?
You know, like the Gateway, the touchscreen ones.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's a downside about them. Pretty much you can't really update them the most.
Well, no, you can, depending on the design of them. Almost all of them will let you update the memory.
Yeah.
The hard drive may be a little more difficult, depending on the design, but a lot of them do allow you to do updates to them.
Yeah, pretty much it's a Gateway or a Gateway ZX. The downside is I'm trying to figure out, it actually says you can update the memory.
Well, let me ask you a question. How many, as a computer owner with your previous computers, have you found that as you've owned them, you've upgraded the memory or swapped out hard drives or done that kind of stuff? Or do you tend to use them as you bought them until they are no good anymore?
Pretty much I'm just trying to see if I can actually update them.
Well, I know that a lot of people bring up the conversation. They say, well, you know, that's no good. You can't update it. But I find that a lot of times you can update what's crucial, like the memory, and you can even swap the hard drive out on a MacBook, even though it's not the easiest thing in the world to do. You can
even
do
on an iMac.
On an iMac.
Yeah.
And
really hard to do on an iMac. Actually.
On a Mac. A MacBook Pro, you can swap out the hard drive. But people use that. They'll hold up, well, you can't upgrade it or it doesn't have as much expansion. I don't find the need to expand exists as much as it used to. When I buy a computer, it pretty much, you know, I buy it with the size hard drive I think I'm going to need and the amount of memory it's going to need. And it'll usually last me. These days, my computers have been lasting without an upgrade for many years.
And if you have a machine that has fast USB ports or even external SATA ports on it, and a lot of these all-in-ones do that,
yeah,
you can plug in an external drive, and particularly if it's eSATA, it's as fast as the internal drive.
Yeah, the reason is because it actually checked up on the information on the PC, and you can actually, it does have expandable memory. You can actually expand the memory. It came with a stock for 4 gigabytes,
uh-huh,
but you can actually update it to 8 gigabytes.
Mm-hmm.
I already figured out what type of memory I need, and the downside is how to actually open the thing.
You have to open most computers to add memory to them.
Yeah, the reason is they say there's a button or a screw you have to actually open these things up.
That's the case with most computers when you're adding memory.
Yeah, but the downside is I already went through the sites. Pretty much it's a gateway, and I went through their site, and their manuals don't have that much information on how to open them. But you can't really open them.
Well, I find that, you know, do you already own this computer?
Yes, I already own it.
There, if you do a quick Google search, I find, you know, people have documented how to add memory to whatever model computer. They'll show you step by step how to open it up. I've found it for any number of Dell's laptops that I've had to upgrade memory on, or even on when I changed out the hard drive on a MacBook Pro. You may not find it from the manufacturer, but you'll find some enthusiast who's decided to sit down and document the whole process with photos and everything.
Pretty much, it's not really, the system's not that old. It's pretty much barely like 1 year old. It's like 2011.
Okay, so what's your point?
I've been going through going through Google, and pretty much there's been boards of them not having the method in there. They're pretty much trying to actually update their memory, but they haven't figured out a way to open it.
So you're telling me that you have not figured out how to open up your computer to add memory to it?
No.
What's the model on it again?
It's pretty much a ZX.
Not is it pretty much, or is it a ZX?
It's pretty much a...
If it pretty much is not anything, I want to know what it is. What is the model number?
Okay, it's a...
Because you can't go to Google and say, I pretty much have a blah, blah, blah. So if you tell me exactly what the model number is, I'll take a look. Tell you what, we're going to let you go, and I'll do a little research and see if I can find information on how to open up a gateway, pretty much a ZX. And you contact me via the website, and I'll send you whatever I find. All right, so yeah, they have the Gateway 1 ZX series.
There's not a lot of info out there on how to open it up. Most of the top hits are gateway hits, and yeah, I mean, it looks like they made it difficult to do that, which is maybe what his complaint was. So there's no easy way to do it right now, unless you're just willing to kind of crack things and attack yourself.
That's a fairly old model, though, isn't it?
It's pretty much new.
Yeah, last year's.
Last year's model?
Yeah.
I don't know. I bet you could find it. I bet you it's out there. I'm trying to... I don't want to spend too much time on it, but I know a lot of places are selling memory upgrade gateway. Check YouTube. That seems to be the place to where you might be able to find it. But I just found a YouTube video that seems to show memory upgrade gateway MA7 step one.
Yeah.
How to upgrade it with 1,000 views on it. So check YouTube because, it's crazy how many people are publishing to the web how to do these kind of, not even esoteric, just these kind of things that people need to do. So.
That was a laptop, unfortunately.
Is it?
I followed it too, yeah.
Huh?
It's a Gateway
ZX
memory upgrade I mean, that, you know, if he was calling to ask us how to do it, I obviously we don't know how to do it. Gateway netbook RAM upgrade, Gateway L2, Gateway 1 ZX series. It looks like there might be a YouTube, but they're talking about, I see a lot of laptops and stuff. Oh, well, I would say, you know, we don't know how to do it, but I bet you could find it. You're just going to have to dig for it. All right. 713-526-5738 is the number to call if you want to be on the air with Technology Bites. I see Groovehouse is currently screening a call for us, and now he is putting on his headphones. He has rejoined the program. What is this bleed over I'm hearing?
Yo, Beats. The thing about the phone is that the phone ringtones are cooler and hipper because they're by Beats.
Oh, so the ringtones.
Is the speaker on the phone itself? It's pretty tinny. Yeah, it's a little, it's better than my phone, but
no, you have to hear it with the headphones
so. Right. That's the other thing you were thinking.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'm not sure how much the how much good Beats by Dr. Dre do you?
Well, they're better than my ringtones.
All right, and there you have it. What phone again is this, right?
That's the HTC One S.
All right, are we done with?
I like it.
You do?
I mean, I think it's a nice looking.
It's
phone.
A great. I like this
feels
phone.
Good in the hand. It's nice.
It does have a really good feel to it. It's just about the right weight. It just feels like, you know, it doesn't need to be heavy. It doesn't feel like it's too light. Like it's just, it feels right. All right. 713-526-5738 if you want to be on the air with Technology Bites. Groovehouse?
Yes.
Who do we have up next?
All right, up next, we're going to talk to Christopher.
Christopher, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Howdy.
Howdy.
I have a, I just built my own machine, and I have a Core i5 2500K, and I've overclocked it modestly. I think that, you know, using the BIOS on the motherboard, the Asus motherboard. And I have an aftermarket cooler, but one of the cores is under, especially under stress testing, is about 10 degrees or so Celsius higher than all of the others. Looking at different temperature measuring programs that I guess use data from the chip itself.
So one of your CPUs is running hotter than the others?
The cores. Yeah.
I've seen that before. So. I've seen that before. Is it the number one core, or is it one of the other ones?
No, it's number. Oh, it's the third one in all my temperature readings, and one of the temperature programs. I think it's Realtemp. It's it reads the first core is zero, the second core is one, third core is two, and so in that one it's number two. But I just call it number three because in the orders that
right,
it
right.
reads it, it's number three.
I've seen that before. I have a quad core, a Q8800, Intel Q8800 chip, which is one of the older Core 2 quads. And it and one of the cores tends to run hotter. And I don't know if that's because it's like the primary core that the operating system goes to more frequently, because it pulls the others as they need them. And in fact, a lot of programmers don't write or don't support all four cores in their code. The operating system will handle some of it, but I think what you may be seeing is just kind of the natural way,
like a single threaded program.
Yeah,
or something.
Right.
Well, the thing is, I've been running Prime 95. I haven't tried the Intel burn test or whatever it's called, and I think it's supposed to hit all the cores. And
so you're seeing this as you run a benchmarking test?
Oh, yes.
Huh.
It should tax them all the same, but there is still going to be one main control core that's going to dole out the work to the other cores.
Oh, okay.
The weird thing is, usually on Linux, it shows up as core zero, as the very first core on the chip. It's kind of odd that it's core two, but if that's a Windows kind of thing, there's no, there's no telling which one it grabs first. But even when it's supposed to be stressing the others, that choke point a lot of times is going to be the primary core that's in charge of, doling out instructions and you making sure that everyone's on the same page.
Oh, okay. So I don't need to,
I would
break open my machine and lap down the services.
And that's the other thing you can do. I mean, there's an off chance that you didn't get the thermal compound okay. I mean, that's the one thing you can do if you want to go
I
and you
reset
the chip.
Yeah.
If you're confident that you did it okay, I would just mark it up to one of the cores working a little bit harder than the others, like Dwight said.
Okay,
Doug. All right.
All right. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks for your call.
Bye-bye.
It does look like the documentation on the Gateway ZX is very spotty. There's not a lot that I could even find on that. apparently, one guy had written that he is trying to talk to Gateway, and Gateway, even Gateway tech support, was saying they don't recommend that you even open the thing up.
A lot of those things, I mean, they're just glued together. They're sealed up in such a way that it really does make them hard to get back into. It seems to be kind of a trend.
But a lot of places are selling memory upgrades for the computer. And I think even Best Buy is offering the upgrades, so it might be a situation where, obviously they're gonna kind of rape you on the price to upgrade your memory if they have them do it for you. But you can, could hand it over to one of their techs and see if they could figure it out. Apparently, it's a computer that Best Buy sells, so maybe their Geek Squad would know how to add the memory to it. But keep digging around, and I'm not finding what I would have thought that I would find, or I found on many other computers. I've found how to completely dismantle Dell laptops online, Apple laptops online, but I'm not finding anything on this thing. I've never been a fan of Gateway, though. Never really been a big fan of Gateway, so I'm not surprised. How disappointing. All right, 713-526-5738. We've got a little bit of time before. What are you laughing at, Dwight?
Someone on Twitter, McVilla,
yeah.
318, says, I was driving through town and heard some sweet beats on a computer show.
Yeah.
All right.
Kojo asked if we were on IRC, if the next Geek Gathering was going to be a rave.
With DJ Flicted.
Made entirely from the ringtone sounds from
HTC. From the HTC One. Yes.
That's right. Laying down the beats will be DJ ringtone.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm hoping that the Beats audio aspect of that phone is in the headphone
pretty
sound
sure
quality. And
well, there's
in
one
speaker
way to find out, peoples.
Plug them up.
Plug them up. I'm disconnected for the moment.
Are you?
Yes.
Why? Why
he's
are you
gonna
just
test the headphones?
Plug in.
Plug them in. Turn them up. Turn them up. Plug them in.
So he's going to start bobbing his head like a chicken.
Well, he's going to get the whole Iron Man face mask thing is going to go down over the head first. And then other things will happen.
All right, so my Beats audio is turned.
Why don't you put the headphones on the microphone? Let everybody share.
Yeah, put the headphones on the mic.
That's the way the pros do it. This is about as entertaining as it gets. Right?
Sadly, the only music on the phone are the ringtones.
Yeah.
There's no music on there.
Although he could listen to like a streaming.
Yeah,
audio.
You'd have to. But the phone wasn't connected to Wi-Fi when I was using it. It
shouldn't have to be on the Wi-Fi. You should be able to pull it over the data, right?
I tried to pull it to YouTube, and didn't.
The data, the 4G connection on that thing was kind of abysmal when I was trying to use it to get on the internet. Of course, Dwight's completely disconnected now because he's got his headphones on, connected to the phone. He can't hear us talk. He's not looking at us. And he's punching buttons, and he's got a sneer on his face. So I don't think he accented the sneer so he can't hear us. All right. So, wow.
So if you look close at his screen, I think I can see a hologram of Tupac doing performing.
All right. I have only peripherally aware of some kind of Tupac thing going on.
Wow, really?
I've missed this meme completely.
Why don't you just read BuzzFeed?
You missed the hologram meme. Yeah,
I missed the hologram meme. I know it exists. Okay. I've seen it referenced, but I have not chased it.
You gotta
have you
see
ever
the
heard
video.
Of Coachella?
Yes.
Here's this.
I'm gonna start with the basics.
You know where California is?
I do. That's okay. I was watching NCIS and
Enhance.
And they referenced the arrow in the knee meme from Skyrim. Skyrim, why you don't make better knee armor? All right.
I used to watch NCIS.
NCIS?
Yeah, NCIS.
Yeah.
I used to play Skyrim.
Until I took an arrow in the knee.
And that did it.
Yeah. Now that I, you know, become aware of that meme, I keep hearing it while I play the game. There's some guard will walk by. I used to be an adventurer like you until I took an arrow in the knee. All right, well, we're just going to fill up the next 8 minutes with nothing. 713-526-5738. We got time to take at least one call on the air. If you would like to be on the air with us tonight on Technology Bites, go to the phone and dial 713-526.
Dwight just had some kind of spasm.
You got music? Is he kicking his share, Dwight?
Is he kicking
put it on the
headphones. Like Elaine from Seinfeld?
I don't hear anything. I think you turned it off.
Flicted had a nickname for this new keyboard we have here in the control room.
Bitey?
No, what'd you call it?
It's I called it the Happy Hacker keyboard.
Oh.
Because years ago, there was a style that was that style keyboard that was called the Happy Hacker. I don't know if that is it, but that's...
So I'm playing
company made one
cloud.
That looked like that, and that's what
unless
they
it's
it.
Made by Adesso, I don't think so.
All right.
People are listening to us watch Dwight try to listen to music. This is really meta.
For me.
All right, someone's dialing in. Someone's going to save us from ourselves. So, are you not... see that stuff?
I'm using Google Play, which is its cloud music service. And so it's pulling, but the Wi-Fi in here is weak. So, as is the 4G at the moment. So, I'm just trying to get...
I used to listen to Google Play.
Mm-hmm. It's what I heard, though, sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And these are good headphones, too, so.
Nice. All right. So Groovehouse has a call for us. We're going to take on the air. 713-526-5738. Groovehouse?
Yes.
Who do we have?
All right. Up next, we're going to take Henry.
Henry, you're on the air.
Hi. How are you doing, guys?
Good. How are you?
Good. Hi. I was wondering if you guys can help me. My friend has an HP laptop, and the screen stopped working after... she tried to hook it up on a TV, on a HDTV. The strange thing is we try different things, and it's showing the screen on the HDTV, but it's not on the laptop itself, and we try to restrict and clone and do the whole setting. It seems like the laptop screen has power because there seems to be like a light coming from the corner. So it's not completely dead, but it's not showing anything no matter what we do to it.
You definitely tried holding down the function key and hitting like the LCD button in blue.
Oh, okay. So try that.
You know, try switching that, it back, you know, because right now you got it in dual display mode. You might try using the function key and the display button to see if you can get it to go back to just the laptop.
I see. Okay. Yeah, that's simple enough. We didn't think of that.
I bet that's it.
I see. Okay. All right, then. Well, thank you, guys.
All right. Thanks for your call. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, and like on notebooks or on, I guess, like the new or I guess slash old now netbooks, you can actually disable the mouse pad too with like a function key. So a lot of, you know, people I'd see me running around DEF CON or running around wherever, different cons like ApolloCon, they actually would disable the mouse pad and not be able to figure out how to get it back on. So it's
odd. They don't have a mouse with them to.
They don't have a mouse with them to do it, but you could still hold down the thing and just do the little mouse button up there. Right. But yeah, blue key is still. I guess can be a mystery.
Well, it's blue key and on I forget which function key it is, but it's an icon that looks like a monitor and then maybe a slash and a second monitor next to it. So on an HP.
Well, Windows 7 has some of that built into the software where you can set up dual displays without having to do any of the function whatever keys, which is nice. All right, so. We have this weird limbo time we're heading into before the top of the hour. We have to take a break.
Probably because our signal is weak, I think.
You think that's what it is?
Yeah. I think it's because there aren't as many people listening to us with telephones.
People can't hear us.
With telephone.
The website also says that we're off air still. So.
Oh, it does?
As of when we went on air, it did, yeah.
Oh.
What about the Facebook? What does the Facebook say?
Your signal
Somebody
is
consult
weak.
The Facebook.
Has anyone sent a message out on the Twitters?
I have sent out a message on the Twitters, and Dwight retweeted it.
Did we send out a message on the KPFT Twitters?
We don't have access to that.
Damn.
Foiled again.
Tin foiled again.
Tin foil again, right.
All right, 713-526-5738. We're going to have to fill in a little space here before we.
You know what would be cool?
What would be cool, Groovehouse?
The voices we're hearing on the headphones can hear us like we hear them on their end. Wouldn't that be cool?
Ooh. They're telling me to do things. I hear voices. They tell me to burn things.
They tell you to burn things?
Simpsons reference, sorry. Ralph Wiggum. All right, 713-526-5738. Technology Bites is on the air with obviously reduced power and reduced quality. I mean, in the signal.
The quality is the same.
I know, the quality is the same of the show.
We're also reduced calorie.
Reduced calorie?
We do have two diet drinks open, not in the studio.
It's a trap.
It's a trap indeed. All right, so Technology Bites is one of the first shows to come back on the air here on KPFT since the transmitter went out a few days ago due to weather. I think maybe even another lightning strike, but I'm not positive.
Lightning strike is what the website says.
Is that what it says? Yes. Lightning struck our transmitter. We are off the air while technicians climbed the tower and inspect for damage.
It was pretty active that night. Other day, yeah. There was a lot of lightning in this area.
Was there?
Oh, yeah. I remember walking to my car and just...
And being afraid?
Being very afraid.
Well, that morning, right next to our building, lightning hit, and I swear, like, probably 50 or 60 car alarms all went off at the exact same time. If I wasn't busy checking on server health and making sure everything was up, I would have grabbed a video and just got it all in. It was really eerie.
Zombie attack.
I don't like zombies.
All right. Speaking of which, did you notice that Dick Clark has shuffled off this mortal coil?
Yes.
I did not know that until Dwight told me right before the show went on. I think that probably accounts for my depressed mood.
Maybe the Aztecs
were
right after
all. He's a hologram. He's going to be performing with Snoop.
meme I don't get yet. Okay, I'm checking out the... The Tupac, how that Tupac hologram at Coachella worked. So, all right. So,
do we have to be on time still for stuff?
Yeah, we do. All right. So you are listening to Technology Bites.
Maybe. Unless you just turned it off and then you have been listening to it.
And we got to take a short break here. We'll be right back after these messages.
KPFT is supported in part by Americans United for Separation of Church and State, a nonpartisan, nonprofit educational organization dedicated to preserving the constitutional principle of church-state separation as the only way to ensure religious freedom for all Americans. Go to auhouston.org or email americansunited.houstonchapter@gmail.com for more information.
Don't miss the 42nd annual Houston International Festival Spotlight in Argentina, April 21st, 22nd, and April 28th and 29th. Make the Chevron Argentina Living Museum your first stop. Tour a beautiful street scene reminiscent of Buenos Aires. See lovely tango presentations and watch for Evita to make an appearance. Check out our Green Mountain Energy Kids World with tons of fun children's activities. And don't miss the Bud Light World Music Stage featuring top artists like Los Lonely Boys, War, Steel Pulse, and Galactic. Get early discount tickets online, ifest.org, and come downtown to the Houston International Festival, presented in part by KPFT Houston.
KPFT is supported in part by Americans United for Separation of Church and State, a nonpartisan, nonprofit educational organization dedicated to preserving the constitutional principle of church-state separation as the only way to ensure religious freedom for all Americans. Go to auhouston.org or email americansunited.houstonchapter@gmail.com for more information.
All right. We're back. Technology Bites. I'm Jay Lee.
I'm Peter Hughes.
I'm Flicked.
I'm Barrett.
I'm Dwight.
Yeah, and he's
Groovehouse.
Yes, he is. All right, so.
That was timed well.
Who was that?
So apparently I can't watch the actual original hologram video because Coachella has removed it from YouTube.
I was gonna say, I saw it.
So go to the Coachella website.
Yesterday or the day before.
Yeah.
So do we have a Barrett time?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, let's do that.
All right. Hey, Barrett, what's happening?
I don't know.
Well, room around town.
We interrupt this skit to bring you
Barrett time! Barrett time! Barrett time!
Yeah. That means it's time for
Barrett time!
Yeah. Anyway, take it away, Barrett.
All right. Since Jay leaving us after next week, we're going to be on our own when it comes to keeping this show running. We've jokingly referred to ourselves as a number of other shows, often following the, I was driving through Houston lead-in. I'm thinking that maybe we go in a different direction for more than the regular short drive duration, just while Jay's out, just to see how it works. So, rather than try to hash out a new format at the start of next week's show, I figured we could take a look at it now. It also allows Jay Lee to have a bit of say in things. Not that we're going to...
Not that you're listening to me anyway.
All right, so here we go. What if we changed it up a little, and instead of talking about computers, we talked about old cars, pickup trucks, Mustangs, and vintage Vespas? Call it truck talk. All of our answers could be paint it black. No? Okay. What if we did the whole show using nothing but barking dogs, doorbells, ringing phones, and chatty teenagers? We could still take calls, but only from Skype users who are still on dial-up.
It'd be info shot.
There we go. So that's the possible format. We could go with a more topical/temporal approach, kind of like a weekly review of what happened in the world of technology. Maybe we could sit on inflatable exercise balls to strengthen our cores, and maybe call it something like That Week in Technology. Oh, we could have Dwight Silverman on the show as a guest.
But only every 6 weeks and on an LCD
that
screen.
I don't know. Well, what if I play the part of a fiery redhead in a relationship with someone who photographs bands? Unless Groove wants to actually forego photography and take up a big band direction. We get into silly situations with our next door neighbors, Dwight and Inflicted Mertz. Yeah.
You got a lot of explaining to do.
Okay, what if we all ditch the knickers next week and moderate to allow for sponsors as well as a ton of ads? We could call it All Commando Show. No one in the studio right now is wearing a dress.
Where's the laugh track? Where's the laugh track?
Okay, last pitch. What if we got all of our prison mail together, read it on air again, and then followed up with a talk about cops, courts, jails, prisons, probation, parole, and just life in general? That hasn't been done, has it?
No, that's a pretty original concept.
Okay,
right?
We can't go to prison for stealing Ray Hill's show, can we?
No.
I'm all up for...
You can go to the Hill for stealing Ray's prison.
Ooh. I'm all for queuing up 2 hours of Nyan Cat and calling it a night. But I guess it really comes down to trying to do a normal show and making a decision now as to who gets to say, and he's before Groovehouse says Groovehouse. That's the big thing.
Wow.
So I don't
know one's
going
to say it, and I'm just going to have to... say Groovehouse.
Also, who's going to be responsible in case the show tanks? I call not it.
Not it.
Not it.
I'll own that.
Okay. Nice.
I don't know. Peter hadn't said anything yet.
Yeah, he did. He said not it early.
Well, we'll miss you, Jay. I thought you were going actually next week, not the week
after.
No,
I'll be here next Wednesday.
You'll be next week, but for now, that's it for I Love This Commando and Truck Tech, and that's that for Barrett Time.
Paint it black. I see a tech show, and I want it painted black. All right. So, welcome back to the show. Yeah, you can't get rid of me that easy. Yeah, we know, they say. We know.
We've got like 8 shows worth of Jay Lee absences here, so maybe.
8?
8? Were there not that many?
No.
No? Just like 6?
It's like 2.
Yeah, in 2 weeks, we'll be like...
Oh, no. I mean, of fodder here, of different ways to take the show.
Oh, I see.
No. We've only got 2 weeks of you being gone. There's no way we could do more than...
Right,
but
you have 6 different shows.
Yeah,
you
6
could
different
do.
Shows we could do.
So, for future reference,
yeah, we'll keep those in the back pocket.
But in 2 weeks, we can say, Jay used to be on this show until he took an arrow in the
Yes. All right.
Okay, hologram Jay.
I sort of get it now. I mean, at least now I am aware that there was a concert with Snoop Dogg, and they had a hologram of Tupac.
Yep.
And
you know that he died, right?
Huh? I know he's dead. Yes, I know Tupac is dead.
How do you know? because a lot of people aren't sure about it, and you claim you know.
He's dead like Elvis is dead.
Okay.
Right. All right. So, you know, for all intents and purposes. So I've got that, you know. So were there any licensing issues? Did they have the
Everything
license?
Everything was taken care of. It was
through Dre's company. Yeah.
Through Dre's questions, you talk to Dre. I read an interview where the guy didn't say anything. He was just like...
He was hiding a lot of stuff.
Yeah, it's like, if you want to ask any questions, talk to Dre.
Yeah, don't upset him. All right, I see the phone is ringing, so that's a good sign. So apparently this whole meme has sprung up around it where people have... Yes, in fact... Apparently the hologram looked quite good. It looked like it was like a very good technology...
And of course, when Dick Clark died, there was all of the, well, obviously he'll be a hologram on New Year's Eve, you know, so the kind of memes converge there.
Yes. Is it too soon? No, not with Dick Clark.
Not with Dick Clark.
All right, so yeah.
Did you see the Kanye tweet?
I heard about a Kanye tweet.
What did he say?
He said...
It was pretty funny.
Can you say it on the air? What did he say?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What did he say?
Go ahead.
I don't remember the exact wording, which is what makes it funny.
We'll find it and read it.
He said something like, "Hey, hologram Tupac, I'm going to let you finish." But Obi-Wan Kenobi was like the best hologram ever.
Oh, nice. That's in reference to the Grammy Awards, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. God. References. There was no call there.
No, that was a call to let us know that we're kind of spotty on the air.
Yeah. Welcome to Technology
Bites. And they can't hear us very well either.
Hey-o. All right, 713-526-573. We understand that, you know, if you can't hear us right now, what happened? Flick is clapping and laughing, so he's been...
He's just... Nothing.
My mind went in the wrong direction, and I almost said it on the air, but I didn't. So I took the mics down and said it.
Said it anyway,
and made him like
chuckle.
Feel sort of ill at his stomach, and
so I guess you can't say it on the air.
No.
Can you write it on IRC?
We would probably get protests.
Could you write it on the IRC?
Yeah.
All right. Let me tune into that.
The show within a show.
I can't wait now. It probably won't be as good, but as hearing him actually utter it. 713-526-5738 if you want to be on the air with Technology Bites. Groovehouse is sitting by, waiting to take your call and screen you and make sure that you're suitable to be on the air and then put you into the queue. So we invite you to dial 713-526-5738. Thank you for not saying that on the air. Thank you for not saying that on the air. Yeah. Uh-oh. So what was that about?
See, that's why I was clapping, and I didn't say it on the air.
I'm so glad you didn't say that on the air. What was the deal, Groovehouse?
We're operating, you know, people can barely hear us.
Barely hear us.
Yeah, or not hear us at all.
What if we do this?
We've been down for a couple. They haven't been able to hear us for a couple days.
Right, but apparently I thought we were back on the air, so we're
barely
on the air.
Some people can hear us in their car, but they can't hear us at home. Some people, you know, can barely hear us, so we are operating on lower power.
Some people that don't have their radios on can't hear us at all.
Some people tuned into other stations can't hear us.
So really, we could just pop the mics down and pretend like we're broadcasting. So we thought we were doing a show. You didn't hear anything? What?
I'll just get some Legos, and I'll just act like I'm running a board.
I'll feel the Yan Cat.
Legos.
All right. So, apparently, because of the transmitter problem, due to the storms a few days ago taking out our transmitter, we are operating at less than optimal strength.
We're flying in missing transmission formation.
You can hear this message. The resistance is coming.
It's somebody else calling to let us know that we have...
Yes.
That they can't hear us?
The chair is against the wall. John has a long mustache.
Yes, it is... it is unfortunate that there are transmitter problems. I was really kind of hoping that, you know, they had gotten things back up to snuff to where we would broadcast
it. So imagine if we were internet only right now.
Yeah, we'd be suffering.
Yeah.
As we are actually suffering.
As we're suffering now.
All right. 713-526-5738 if you are out there. And you are hearing this, and you do have a problem you want to talk to us about.
Apparently, we are clear. I-10 East. They can hear us out
I-10
there.
East. Shout out to I-10 East.
East side.
Other areas, not so good. Right here in the Montrose, not so good.
Yeah, it is not very good here.
In areas that might care, we're not reaching. And areas that could do without us, it's like, yes, we can still hear you.
We're really clear in Katy.
Hey, yo. Yes, we're reaching all the entire...
So I-10 East?
I-10 East.
We're hitting Viter?
Golden Triangle?
We've got Baytown covered.
All right.
Yeah.
So maybe someone who's working on the transmitter should call us and ask for tech support.
Or maybe we could just get a transmitter update from somebody who's involved in that project, because chances are, you know, they have to plug something in it. Although they probably shut down for the evening.
This talk is going to make the hotline ring.
Is it?
They said they were. They might have to take the antenna down off the tower.
Yeah, to effect a repair.
Wow. That's big money.
Yeah, and probably a big crane.
That would be a great reason to donate on the next pledge drive.
Yes, it would.
Yes, it would.
Well, you know, between the lightning strike a couple of months ago that knocked out a lot of the electronics
here.
And now this. Right. Yeah, here in the actual
in the building.
In the actual building.
But this is the antenna, like, on the tower.
Yeah.
Away,
but
not
we're
here,
also
right?
having issues here because there are other systems in the studio that are down. So.
Yeah, but now this is the remote because we have the transmitters out.
This
you know,
is the
you,
real
you, can't,
antenna.
You cannot erect an antenna... for broadcast, you know, inside city limits, you have to go out and set these things up in these giant antenna farms. And I guess this ours is out somewhere off 290 or something like that. But, yeah. So, it's just been a weird, weird, weird year for season, for weather season, with all the tornadoes and violent storms and stuff. Don't know what it means. But we are coming up to... the Mayan apocalypse. So my contention is if there is going to be the end of the world in December of this year, it's not going to just, you know, it's not going to be like, you know, birds tweeting and sunny skies and then the next morning fire and death and explosions. It's going to build up with a series of, like, you know, tornadoes.
Well, maybe or maybe not.
You know. Maybe or maybe not. Well, we're seeing it right now. I mean, we're having tons of great, really, earthquakes and tornadoes.
Well, there's the predominance of dark matter in the universe. If the dark matter in the universe becomes dominant, and then everything flies apart, you won't feel it. You won't notice it.
It could be happening right now.
Could be happening right
now. I'm going to go get my tinfoil hat.
Even that won't save you. All right, looks like we got some calls in the queue. We'll see how that goes. They're probably pity calls.
Ethernet adapter asterisk.
We got some real problems.
All right. Real problems. These people have real problems.
That sounds like a call sign. Ethernet adapter asterisk. Over.
Ethernet adapter asterisk.
Over.
All right. Over.
Make sure in every time that word gets said.
Wireless gigahertz megabyte.
Over.
Over.
All right. Greenhouse.
Yes.
Ethernet adapter asterisk.
That's right. We're going to take Dion.
Dion, you're on the air with Technology Bites. Over.
Yes, sir. How you guys doing?
Good. Over.
All right. All right, so problem is my Ethernet connection. I got the AT&T service, and when you plug up the Ethernet line to the back of the computer, back of the CPU, that yellow light on the Ethernet cable is not flashing. So I kind of looked it up on another computer to see what the problem might be, and I was told to go to network adapters. When I got there, there was like these orange asterisks next to all these adapters, and on the guy who answered the question said, "If that's there, that's a problem." So I went to the help menu, and it said to delete all of them and reinstall them.
Right, you're talking about your device manager,
right?
Yeah. So you basically are the asterisks, or is it exclamation point?
Yeah, exclamation. That's exactly.
Yeah, if you have a yellow exclamation point next to a device in your device manager, it's telling us that that device is not loaded properly or there's not a driver installed for it, so it's not working properly.
So, right, but on my attempts to try to erase it, like delete it and try to reinstall it, it won't even let me delete it.
Yeah, sometimes when you try to remove devices using the device manager, it doesn't go so well. It'll hang up, especially with Ethernet drivers and sometimes with video drivers. Who makes the computer?
Dell.
Dell. So what I would do in this situation is I would go to support.dell.com and download, you know, you plug in your model number and they'll take you to a driver page and you can grab the Ethernet drivers for your computer and just reinstall them without necessarily removing the ones that are already there. Hopefully when you reinstall the software, it'll update those drivers.
Okay. I'll try that then.
That would be what I would do.
All right. Thank you, guys.
All right. Good luck. Thanks for your call.
All right.
What's that, Groovehouse?
What? What?
Stuff? Ethernet adapter asterisk. Exclamation point, question mark, smiley face.
Over.
Over.
The chair is against the wall.
The door is ajar. All right, Groovehouse.
Yes.
713-526-5738. Who's up?
All right, up next.
Where's up next now?
Oh, where we're going to take Brooke.
No, Stephen Hawking.
Brooke's up.
Brooke, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Hey, how's it going?
Okay, how are you?
Good. First off, we can hear you. I'm inside the loop, and we can hear you okay.
Okay, great. Thanks for letting us know.
And I guess my question is, all my virus software, you know, antivirus stuff says I'm in good shape, everything looks excellent. But a lot of times when I'm working on my computer and I walk away for a while and let it go to sleep, I'll come back, and when I kind of jiggle the mouse, the first thing I see looks like a crappy little screensaver that says April Fool's. And then that disappears pretty quick. And I'm just wondering, is that some kind of awful virus that's not being caught? Do I need to do something about that? Or
I've not heard of an April Fool's.
I think it's fairly old. I've heard of that before, but it's been years.
Is it like something benign that I hopefully have stumbled into that isn't going to kill me? Or do I need to try to do something to get it off of there?
Well, if you what antivirus are you running on the computer?
The McAfee thing.
I would go ahead and maybe scan the system with using an anti-malware or an anti-spyware program like Malwarebytes.
Okay.
It's free. You can get a free version of it from malwarebytes.org. Looks like there is an April Fool's Day computer virus from 2009.
Mm, yeah.
But it is. What does the actual April Fool's look like? Is it a...
It just looks like something that you would create on one of those lame-ass old screensavers where you typed in your name and it
spins
around.
It spins around?
Well, kind of like...
Right, it kind of rotates.
Back and forth and looks,
is it possible that somebody just adjusted your screensaver to have the have text in it? I mean, have you looked...
I don't think so. It's not really my screensaver. I mean, it's just... Like I said, it's every now and then, and when I come back to my computer, if it's been on the internet, and I've let it go to sleep during that period, that's when it pops up.
Well, I would, you know, try scanning with Malwarebytes to see if it detects anything, or if it's an older virus, if it really is the April Fool's virus, it seems to me that McAfee and Norton and those programs should detect it.
Yeah.
So I'm not cluing in to what you're seeing exactly. So it could be something benign like some kind of pop-up window or something, but can you get a screen capture of it?
Yeah. Actually, I really can't.
Because as soon as you move your mouse, it goes away?
It's just there for just a flash. I mean, just long enough for me to be like, what the F is that? And then it disappears.
And that's after the computer wakes up from being, like, in standby mode?
Yeah, just as it's starting to wake up.
And so it's, like, kind of like a text on the screen rolling around, but then it goes away real fast.
Correct.
I'm not familiar with what that might be, but I'm wondering if it could be a screensaver. Like your computer is kicking in a screensaver and then going to sleep, and then when you wake it up, you're getting a little flash of the screensaver, and then you're going back to your desktop. Do you know how to check your screensaver settings?
Yeah, and I'll check that. I didn't think about that. But
take a look and see. You might have a screensaver in effect that has some kind of text message on it. You should be able to tell pretty quick.
I'll check that.
And if it's on in any capacity, just try turning it off and see if it does the same thing. But for just to be on the double safe side, you might scan the system with Malwarebytes and see if it picks anything up. Because if there is a piece of spyware or something like that on there, your antivirus programs won't necessarily detect it. And so you need to use like a dedicated anti-spyware tool. Malwarebytes is a good one, and it's free.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
All right, thanks for your call.
Alrighty, bye.
All right, 713-526-5738 is the number to call if you want to be on the air. We have a couple of calls in the queue, so thank you for those. We do have room for more calls if you want to participate in tonight's show. 713-526-KPFT. Groovehouse.
Yes.
Who's up?
All right, up next, we're going to take John.
John, you're on the air with Technology Bytes.
Hi, Jay. It's John. Got a Mac problem. There was a friend of mine has a early Intel iMac with having a mail problem. When I went to look at the machine, the icon had a little, it was faded, had a question mark over it, and when I go to Spotlight and search for mail, it's mail program's not even there.
Really? You can reinstall individual apps from the OS X install disk.
Okay.
You put the install disk in and surf. I forget exactly where this is in the Finder, but there is an optional installs folder in the on the disk.
Is mail one of those?
And mail, you go drill down into there and you'll see mail one of them, and you can install it from in there.
Oh, that sounds easy. Okay, thanks a lot.
All right.
All right, thanks for your call.
No problem.
All right, 713.
I guess we should have stretched that out, shouldn't
I? Yeah, you missed your opportunity.
Yeah.
713-526-5738, if you would like to be on the air with us.
Stretch it out like that Windows 8 tablet desktop thing. It just goes and goes and goes.
And goes.
The tablet thing he's got.
I know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I got it.
Okay.
I'm following you.
All right, Tupac hologram. Gotcha.
Well, maybe while I'm out of the country, you'll have a Jay Lee hologram.
You can't die. You got to come back. There's like a checklist of things that has to happen.
You have to be dead before you can be a hologram.
That's one of them, yeah.
Princess Leia wasn't dead.
No, but she was
a true hologram.
Abused, yeah.
She was a true hologram. This wasn't a true hologram, but
it wasn't blue enough.
There was no R2 in the corner.
How do you know?
Well, because there's a website out there that shows how it's done.
Oh.
Because George Lucas can't do anything without ruining it anymore, so.
All right, 713-526-5738 if you want to be on the air with us tonight. Who's up next, Groovehouse?
All right, up next, we're going to take Tom.
Tom, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing? Called to see, I'm a long-time Microsoft user, and I want to buy an Apple computer now, and I was wondering what do you guys suggest. Like, I want to get the top of the line, but pay the least amount of money.
Well, said Mac, right?
Well, I mean, if you buy top of the line, you're going to pay the most money you can pay, because they don't sell the top of the line computers for less than the bottom of the line computers.
Well, I'm willing to spend about $2,000, you know, up $2,000 and some. And I was looking online already. I'm wondering about the solid state data drive or whatever it is. Do I need to have that? And I mean, how important is it to have it in?
Are you looking for a desktop or a notebook?
I'm looking for notebooks, you know. I'm looking for a 13-inch Mac notebook.
A 13-inch MacBook Pro is not that expensive, and you can easily do it for under $2,000.
You can do it probably for under $1,000.
A
13-inch MacBook Pro?
With a solid-state drive.
Yeah. Oh, with a solid-state drive? No.
I want to have 13-inch and also a desktop. You know, I would like to have both, you know, because I have two.
You want to buy two computers, and you want them for the price of one, and you want it to be less expensive than the highest-end computer.
It may just be a monitor.
Not really. Hard. I mean, I would like the desktop for around 2,000 and the laptop for about $1,000.
Oh, okay. Well, first of all, consider not going with a solid state drive.
No.
I mean, why do you want a solid state drive?
Because I heard it's so much faster, and it will have my programs move faster. But
it's faster, but they're much smaller than standard.
And they're
hard
more
drives.
Expensive. You pay more per megabyte to get a solid state drive, and unless. Hello.
Evacuate.
Yes, I'm here.
The least expensive MacBook Pro with a regular hard drive is $1,200.
And if you look at closeouts, if you look at last year's model, you can usually find them for less than that too. They'll close them out when the new model comes out. I picked up my 13-inch MacBook Pro for under $1,000, actually for under $900. Because
your other alternative that would get you a solid state drive, and it just depends on sort of what your total pattern to use is you could get like a MacBook Air for your laptop, and then an iMac for your desktop for the rest of it. And the Air has the solid state drive and is very light and easy to carry around. Now it doesn't have an optical drive in it. But if you don't need that when you're out using laptop stuff, then it means you get more portability.
And the MacBook Air that starts at $999 has an 11-inch screen, so you will want to go to an Apple store and look at that because that's pretty small.
And if you want to order it with, I think, 4 gigs of RAM in it, and you can upgrade it later, so you want to get it with 4 gigs immediately when you buy.
Okay, I see. I can't upgrade later the MacBook Air, huh?
Not easily.
Not the RAM.
Not easily. No, okay.
Not even the memory. You can't do it at all.
Mm-hmm. If I want to buy the top of the line MacBook Pro, that's 2.8 gigahertz out there right now, right?
The top of the line MacBook Pro is a 2.4 gigahertz 17-inch model that starts at $2,500.
I see. No, I don't want. That's too big for me. 13-inch is good enough.
And 13-inch is a 2.8 gigahertz at $1,500.
$1,600. Okay, if I want to upgrade it to solid data drive, can I do it myself?
Well, you can find all this information out on the Apple website. I don't understand why we're necessarily answering some of these questions. I feel like a big Apple commercial. You can go to apple.com. And look at what they offer the different computers for. It's the same price. Apple sells computers for what Apple sells computers for. These questions you can answer for yourself. We're just offering up, some insight as to whether or not you need certain things. You're going to pay more to get solid state.
I
don't really need it then. I know I can get all the info on Apple website, but I was just trying to get your ideas. Do I really need that, or can I?
Yeah, my suggestion, what do you have right now?
Right now I have a computer.
Besides a thing that goes beep, beep, beep all the time.
Yeah, I have an idea, something like that. A computer that I built 5 years ago myself, and also I wanted to ask you guys where I could sell it. It was around $3,000 back then, Antec case and power supply and, all the good stuff. Gigabyte,
a five-year-old computer.
It's real expensive back then. I'm going to sell it. So where could I sell it? Do you guys know?
I have no
idea. Some computer store.
No? I could probably donate it to the West Park Recycling Center or to Goodwill, but I don't know that you... I mean, you could try to sell it on eBay, but somebody buying a used computer that was a hand-built, you're going to have a hard time finding somebody to buy that off of you unless you just kind of are really smooth.
I got 750 gig on it, 3
I tell you what. I tell you what.
Memory and all that, no?
People are pretty desperate on Craigslist. They'll buy almost anything.
Yeah, I guess you can throw it on Craigslist, but five-year-old technology depreciates, it's pretty depreciated. It's not everything that's in that computer. You can buy something faster and better and cheaper today than what's in that computer, no matter how much money you paid for it when you built it 5 years ago. The processor's out of date. The hard drive's too small. The memory's too slow. The graphics card is too underpowered compared to what you're going to get today. We're going to let you go because there's a lot of noise in the background there. We need to...
He must be using the KPFT transmitter.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, you can shop online and see what Apple sells their products for. if you hear that something is fast, you hear that something is great, and you want it just because you hear about it, that's usually not a good way to buy something. What you should do is go to the Apple store, go to someplace that sells Apple, whether it's Best Buy or whatever, and use the computer, play with it, and see how it responds when you open up applications and stuff. Yes, a solid state drive is pretty, I mean, the instant on, one of my coworkers got a MacBook Air with a solid state drive. And, you know, you open it up, and it's just up and running. There's no lag. There's nothing. You know, you turn it on, and it's on in seconds and up and running. And that's pretty amazing. Is it worth how much it costs to get there? To me, no, it's not. It's
well, the MacBook Air comes with, it's all solid state.
It's all solid state, right.
And so you don't pay, but I was looking on their pricing, and they charge a lot more. For example, the 256 gig solid state drive, they're charging $500 for. You can do better than that by buying it third party and installing it yourself.
It's $1,100 if you want to step up to the 512.
But you can't install it yourself in a MacBook Air, right?
Right. And MacBook Air, it's soldered down. You forget about upgrading on a MacBook
Air. If you're buying a MacBook Air, you're paying extra for it being lightweight, having a solid state drive, all of that stuff, you're paying for it. And whether or not you need all of that, that's what you have to ask yourself. If you want to get a really good, solid computer that runs fast and does what you need to do without necessarily having to go over that edge, like where the guy was talking about, he's 5 years ago, he built this computer all state-of-the-art, now he wants to sell it, he's not going to get that much money for it. Your investment evaporates in terms of the value. Your computer depreciates as soon, just like a car, as soon as you drive it off the lot, depreciates a significant amount.
Although Macs hold their value pretty good.
Yeah. But you know whether or not you need these things. For me personally, the solid state drives are too expensive and they're not big enough. I would be willing to pay the money for a solid state drive if we were talking about something in the half a terabyte to three quarters of a terabyte size. But it's just not really available and not reasonable if it is, or when it probably gets here, it won't be.
Well, the Air is actually a fairly good deal. It sells for, with the largest hard drive that it's offered, which is 256, the 13-inch, is $1,600. That's not bad, given the technology that it is.
Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, for $1,600, I could get a really nice 13-inch or even a 17-inch MacBook Pro, probably.
17-inch, I think, was $2,100.
The bottom lot of them?
Yeah, really? I think so. Yeah, the 17-inch
is pricey. Or 15-inch, then.
Yeah.
At any rate, you know, that's the kind of thing you have to really research for yourself and see what's out there. But don't buy a computer with technology because you heard it was good. You know, think about what it is that you need the computer to do. And, you know, if you sacrifice instant on with solid state for, you know, you're going to save money, you can get more hard drive, you might have to wait a couple of extra seconds for the computer to boot up. To me, that's, you know, a better value.
Having used an Air and installed Parallels with Windows on it, and that becomes really fast, a virtual machine.
Well, see, but you're looking at a situation where you know that benefits you.
Oh, yeah.
You're saying, okay, I'm doing this, and I would like for it not to take 5 minutes to boot up one of my virtual machines. Yes, solid state drive. All of a sudden, that makes sense. Not because you heard it was cool or it was fast, but because it's going to serve your needs in the way that you use your computer.
But the double-edged sword for that is that if you're doing a virtual machine,
you don't have any room to store.
You don't have any room to store. So the one thing that he should know is that the intense rumors are that we're coming up on a MacBook Pro redesign. There's a good chance that Apple will take a lot of what it learned from building the MacBook Air and use it to make the MacBook Pros thinner and probably include solid-state drives in most of them. So he may want to wait at the very least for that.
All right.
So about June or July is all he has to wait, so it's not too bad.
June or July? And that may be... go ahead.
At the very least, it'll be clear. It should be clearer if that, you know, when they're going to do it. Basically, it's the whole Sandy Bridge Intel platform will be available on the stuff that would affect the larger MacBooks, and so that'll be out in June, so that would be the earliest they could say something, that they would announce something.
So I'd be buying, it was Dwight, I think, was the one that said that he won't upgrade his MacBook Pro until the next operating system won't run on what he has. So
that's my iMac.
That's your iMac?
iMac, yeah.
Yeah.
So so long as it runs smoothly.
As long as it runs smoothly, the current operating system available. Now, what are we talking about? An upgrade on is it Cougar?
Mountain Lion.
Mountain Lion, which is a Cougar.
Right. It'll be out this summer.
This summer?
Right.
Think it'll come in hand with the new computers?
Probably, yeah. That may be what they're waiting on.
All right, 713-526-5738, Groove House?
Yes.
Who do we have up next?
All right, up next, we're going to take Wells.
Wells, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Hey, how you guys doing tonight? Really like the show.
Thank you.
I just need a recommendation about a tablet. I've been looking at the Transformer Prime, and I actually work at a big box store that you referenced earlier, but they've been tough to get a hold of right now, and I'm just wondering if you think that's the best option at this point for a tablet.
A Transformer Prime? An Optimus Prime? Or
yeah. That's Asus's convertible notebook / tablet. It's getting very good reviews.
The E-pad.
Right.
Really, I'm just looking for something. I made the egregious error of getting a Windows phone, and I'm looking for something on Android or something like that where I'm going to have a good balance of games and be able to access Excel and PowerPoints and things like that.
So why do you, I'm curious, why don't you like your Windows phone device?
I love my Windows phone. I bought it for the Xbox Live integration, to be honest.
Uh-huh.
But the absence of games and applications is omnipresent. I mean, I look at people with the Android phones and the Apple phones, and the access that they have to decent games and things like that makes me feel bad about it. It does.
So you're looking for a tablet to play games on?
Yeah, well, just to mess around with and have something portable to play games, but also be able to view things from work in PDF form, and something that I'm going to be able to attach a legitimate keyboard to for those times where I need to type stuff out because it's difficult without that keyboard.
Almost any tablet will do the last two things that you talked about.
Okay.
The games, you want a pretty powerful processor and decent graphics, and the Transformer Prime is supposed to have that. I've not tried it.
Okay.
But from what I've read about it, it does have that. I think the Transformer Prime is Android 4.0, so it's got the latest operating system.
Because I'm tempted by the new iPad, which we have, which are easy to acquire at this point. But I've always had a problem with iTunes and QuickTime and things like that. I'm just not a big Apple fan. I'm willing to convert if it's the best option at this point. But I've heard good things about the Transformer Prime, so I'm thinking that's probably the right way to go. Especially since the price point's pretty good too, relative to those Apple products.
The games are probably if you're a gamer right now, the Apple platform, ironically, is the best one. The games on them.
Really? It's a better way to go?
Oh, well, there's more options,
and,
for sure.
And developers, particularly for games, because of Apple kind of got a foothold in it with the iPod Touch and with the iPhone, and has continued it for gaming. It's become a real gaming platform. And particularly with the new one with the Retina display on it, is just really spectacular. So if you're interested in games, what you probably ought, if you go to an Apple store and you explain to them what you want, they will have iPads with games loaded on them, and they'll load them for you if you want to see something.
And quick question about the 2 versus the 3. I'm not going to be using the camera. I'm not going to be using that in any format. What's the other big advantage? Is it the Siri or whatever you call that edition?
Siri is not on the tablet. It does have a dictation, a voice-to-text dictation that works okay. The big deal with the 3, if you're gaming, it's got a faster processor and much better graphics. And if you're gaming, you should look at the 3. I would look at the 3 and the Transformer Prime.
And would there be any issue with viewing Microsoft documents and things like that on the iPad?
Nope, not at all.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you so much, guys. Really appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. All right, thanks for your call.
All right, bye.
All right. 12 minutes left in the show, less few minutes to do an outro, although this whole show's been kind of an outro.
It's one big bumper.
Too bad you're not leaving next week.
Yeah. Too bad I wasn't gone this week.
Wow. Hopefully we'll have our transmitter back to full strength next week.
I'll bring some rabbit ears. We can't get it up by next week.
Hey-o.
Hopefully the rabbit won't have died. Hey-o.
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 It'd be a hologram rabbit.
I kind of get it. I'm sort of tuned in.
You
came out and did a duet with Snoop Dogg.
I got that part.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I mean, you got to check it out. It's really cool.
Apparently, they've ripped the video of Coachella. Can you see it at Coachella?
I looked on their website, but it's kind of convoluted to find stuff, so someone's got it out there.
It's
got
to be out there somewhere. It's gone viral and stuff. 713-526-5738. I see some calls coming in right now, so that's a good sign. Groove House will screen them and get them into the queue. I don't know what it is. The last couple of Wednesdays, I've just been really tired come Wednesday, and I'm usually just really tired Thursday. But it's kind of bumped up a day.
It's getting older.
Is it?
It's getting older.
How is it on that side of old Dwight?
It's not bad.
It's not bad?
It's not bad. It's not as bad as I thought it would be. You know, if you asked me when I was 30 how it would be to be when I was 55, I would have gotten, you know, upset.
Now that I've hit 50, I'm feeling Hal PC old.
I don't know if 50 is Hal PC old.
55 is getting close.
55 is Hal PC old.
I think we're the new Hal PC old.
We're the young whippersnappers of Hal PC.
I think that's just our fantasy from when we were young whippersnappers.
Maybe, Jay, you and I ought to go to a Hal PC meeting, the next general Hal PC meeting. Just show up.
Just show up?
Uh-huh.
Get our curmudgeon on?
Yeah. Does Hal PC still have general meetings? For a while they didn't, and then they did.
I don't know. We'll have to go look. Do. All right. Well,
you know where y'all two need to go?
Where?
Coachella. Be sure and wear Indian headbands and stuff because you'll fit in.
Mm-hmm. Maybe Burning Man.
No, Burning Man, y'all might actually enjoy.
We don't want to go any place we'd actually enjoy.
Flickton doesn't want us to go anywhere we might like. All right, Groove House.
Yes.
I see that we have some
callers.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have callers.
I'm interested in the second one, which is the first one in the list, but we'll go to them in order. Well, no, that is the first one, isn't it? Yeah.
Okay.
All right,
up next, we're going to take Nick.
Nick, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Yeah, you know, just when I started listening, you were talking about how the weathermen have no accountability because they could just be wrong and they just keep their jobs, you know?
Yeah.
But, I mean, the ultimate in that department is the preachers. Because after you die, you know, you didn't get what they promised you, well, you know.
That's true. There's no recourse. Unless one of the other, you know, reincarnation religions is correct, in which you could come back and exact your revenge.
Exactly. You know, as musicians, you know, we got to deliver right there. If we don't deliver, people start throwing stuff at us, you know. But for preachers, weathermen, they get away with all kinds of nonsense.
That's true. You're right.
That's what Guy Schwartz taught me. All right. Peace, y'all.
Peace. Wow, that's actually a very good point. You know, some of us have to suffer getting beer bottles thrown at us for our mistakes, while others just
perform behind chicken wire.
Yeah, like the scene from the Blues Brothers movie. Although I just say I couldn't. It looked to me like the glass was going through.
So, yeah, but the liquid sure was.
Yeah. All right. 713-526-5738. Who's up next?
Biscuit. Up next, we're going to take Steve.
Steve, you're on the air with Technology Bites.
Great. Thank you very much for taking my call.
No problem. What can we do for you?
First two things, I could pick up your station in my truck out here in the Sugar Land A-Leaf area, and I came in the house and couldn't pick you up, so I went to the internet. It still works.
Oh, yeah, awesome. The internet's still going.
Yeah, it's still going.
Can't break the internet.
Oh, really? Somebody's trying. Somebody's trying. I'm having some problems with email and Yahoo. The other day, I got somebody's mail, and I opened up something, and then I responded to these people, and they said, hey, I didn't send you that. So now it seems that people are starting to receive things from me, and I all of a sudden got a bunch of mailer demon.
Right, you're getting a lot of bounce notifications for messages you didn't send or don't think you sent.
Right.
Right. So one of two things has happened. Either a spammer has gotten a hold of your email contacts, or as at least using your email address and sending email out as if it was you, and you're getting all the bounce messages.
Okay.
And replies. Or it's possible that your account has been compromised. I've talked to a couple of people this week whose Yahoo accounts have been hijacked.
Okay.
So what I would recommend that you do is log into your Yahoo account and reset your password.
Good. That sounds simple enough. Even I can handle that.
Yeah. And now one of the things I know about AT&T Yahoo is they'll let you set up multiple profiles under an email account. So make sure that nobody's logged into your account and set up a second profile. They'll usually do it where they'll take your email address and add a letter or a number to it. And it looks kind of like your email address, but it's really a different email address.
Okay, well, sometimes I seem to get email that's filtered through a spam filter, and it looks like it's my stuff that has been sent, but, I mean, I didn't send it.
Right. Now, like I said, in some situations, spammers just use your email address, and they'll send it as if it's from you, and that accounts for some of it. But you do want to make sure that your account hasn't been taken over and being used by somebody else, which can happen with webmail, and I've seen it happen with Yahoo Mail. So make sure you reset your password and get it secure again.
Okay. Thank you very much. Sounds like a simple enough fix.
All right. Well, thanks for your call tonight.
Bye-bye.
All right. All right. 713-526-5738 is the number to call. About 15 minutes left in the show. Plickett's got his arms crossed. He's contemplating his next hologram joke. What's the matter, Plickett? You look like you're bummed.
He took away his beats.
Told you not to touch that Windows machine when you got here.
Stole his joy.
Sucked his soul right out of him.
Windows 8, 1, afflicted 0.
All right. 713-526-5738. Apparently, our signal is reaching some areas of town. Of course, a lot of people who have been tuning into KPFT tried to do so over the last several days and found nothing there, so they may be discouraged and haven't tuned in.
But now there's something there.
Yeah.
Specifically, there's us.
But you have to think to go back and tune in. You know, if you try tuning in KPFT several times a day and you don't find anything, and then you try that over the course of several days, it could be rather discouraging.
And particularly since our website still says
we're off the air.
By the way, it doesn't appear to be a general session meeting of HowPC. At least not month to month. I've looked in April and May, and there's nothing. There is, however, at 10 a.m. Saturday, PC workshop for PCs. Exactly what that means, I don't know, but that might be worth just showing up for.
Might be. All right. 713-526-5738. If you want to be on the air with us, we got about 12 minutes left in the show tonight, and we are entertaining your calls. If you would like to be on the air, I see a call coming in. We could use a couple of more calls to get us through the last few minutes of the show and have this be, you know, entertaining or whatever. 713-526-573. Where did Groovehouse go? He just wandered off.
Somebody was knocking on the wood windows.
The wood was?
Do you want to take a call cold? Or
yeah, let's take a cold. Technology Bites, you're on the air.
I'm on the air?
Yeah, you're calling in on the air line. Do you not want to be on the air?
No, on the air is fine. I was confused about Jay Lee, if he was leaving permanently or not. And I actually was calling to say that I drove from 45 by the airport and got to my house about a half a mile from the station. It wasn't until I got to my house that I couldn't hear you anymore. I know that I realized the receiver's out. And,
yeah, we got some problems with it. No, I'm not leaving permanently. City. I'm just going on vacation.
Okay, because you know, I've been listening to you. I've been through a couple of wise of you, and I hate to see you go.
Oh. A couple of wives? Is that what
you're saying? Well, I have this gig at a church where I cook every Wednesday night. I've done it for like 17 years, and I get off at 8 o'clock, and I, you know, go straight to you guys' show every Wednesday night, and then I would hang out and drink a beer, do something just to listen to the show, and they thought I was
you know, cheating on him. It's like, no, I'm just listening to this show. And
cheating on him with Jay?
You know?
And you, Barrett.
And Barrett.
Not for 17 years. I'm a new...
You know that's the subtitle of this show, Cheating with Jay, don't you?
Well, you know, hey, I'm happier now, so I guess I should send Jay a bottle of scotch or something.
Yes, oh, yes.
Actually, like yes.
You can plot.
Anyways, that'd be surprising by answering live. But anyways, that's it.
All right. Thanks for your call.
Hi,
buddy. Yeah, well, you know, Groovehouse wandered off to go answer the door, and we were desperate to have somebody on the air with us.
We like to mix it up.
Yeah.
We'll take a live call every once in a while.
Fine. They're all live, but we'll take a cold call.
Cold call.
All right.
So Jay's not actually leaving permanently, in case.
Yeah, don't get your hopes up.
My mom texted me and asked if you were leaving permanently because she didn't catch the whole thing.
So. Hope springs eternal. I understand. No, don't get your hopes up. Now, you know, the Jay Lee free shows are often, you know, entertaining.
Mm.
Hey, Pete.
Yes.
Are you going to come to town while I'm away?
It depends. I may be able to, at least one of them I may be able to. Next week you're in.
I'm in next week, but then 2 weeks after that I'll be gone, and the second one of those is a fundraiser.
Ah.
Come to that one.
Come to that one, Peter.
Yeah, because that's where all the fun is. Yeah. That's why you want
to
spend
come to the
time
enjoyable
in the car.
Ones.
That's where the fun is.
There's usually cold food.
There's usually cold, mostly eaten
food for the volunteers.
Yeah. Well, I must say, it's a lot easier to get over to Houston now that the speed limit is 75 for most of the way. That does help.
Nice.
Yeah. So there you go, an excuse to drive the caddy at speed on the highway.
There you go.
I'm offering you this as an opportunity. Yeah, so don't get your hopes up. I'm not gone forever. I'll be, and you know, I doubt I'll call in. I doubt I'll be awake.
Actually, the second week you'd be gone, I think I have to be back in, that maybe where I have to be back in El Paso again. It's coming to an end, but... there is one more El Paso trip after next week.
I see. All right. So it looks like we have a call. We're going to take real quick. Groovehouse?
Yes.
Who's up next?
All right. Up next on the show, we are going to take John.
John, you're on the air.
Hey, I'm not at home, so I'll have to get this later. But how do you rename a disk drive in Ubuntu? When I try to rename it, it says something like back end failed on this operation.
Is it an external drive or is it the main drive, like your C drive?
It would be D. You know, it's a drive and it's named media, which Ubuntu doesn't like because Ubuntu uses the name media. So it turns out when I try to get it by typing media, it just pops up a list of the drives, but it's not in there.
Oh, okay. So you just actually need to mount the drive, right?
I don't know.
Are you able to read data off the drive right now?
Yeah, but I got to reboot a couple times. It's kind of weird.
Is it a Windows partition drive by any chance?
It used to be on a Windows machine.
Do you move it back and forth between Linux machines and Windows machines right now?
I don't have a Windows machine anymore.
Okay, so it's completely a fresh, clean install of Ubuntu on your main hard drive, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But on the external drive, it's a Windows hard drive, right?
It used to be drive D on a Windows machine. Now it's just a hard drive that's in the machine.
Did you reformat it?
No, I don't want to. It's got 700 gigs of stuff on it.
It's got media on it.
He doesn't want to. He just wants to rename it.
I would. So when you get home, Google NTFS label is what you're going to have to use. And what that'll do is it'll actually change, even though it's probably not an NTFS, it may be FAT32, it'll actually change the disk label on a Windows format drive.
Okay.
Give that a shot.
NTFS label?
Yeah, and probably what you'll have to do is you'll have to do like the slash dev and then whatever device it pops up as, maybe like SDB1, and then give it a space and then give it the name.
Okay. Actually, I think it's SD5 or something like that.
Yeah,
okay.
It's going to be like /dev/SDB5. That's the fifth partition on the second drive, but you'll figure it out. And then go ahead and type in the name after that. But again, if you Google just like Ubuntu NTFS label,
Okay, because I looked at renaming a disk drive, and they say right-click on it and then type in a new name, but, you know, it doesn't work that way for me. Okay, and hey, and that was really weird what he was saying about cheating later, because that's one of the reasons I got wet of the Windows machine was because somebody signed me up for this cheater's website, and I started getting all these really weird emails from really weird women.
Wow. Chances are they're not women.
And I thought my wife did it to me for a joke, but she swears she didn't. And she understands that I didn't do it because, I'm just not that way. Anyway. All right, well, thanks a lot, guys.
All right, thanks for your call.
Yes.
All right. Wow. That's been a weird, weird, weird show. Feel like a hologram. See, you know, the good thing about a meme is that all you have to know are the key phrases. All you need to know are the key phrases.
My knee.
Got a got an arrow to the hologram.
Yeah. We're blending memes. What are you doing there, Dwight? You taking pictures with your iPhone?
Just taking pictures, yeah.
Just photographing.
That's right.
Evidence.
I'm into the photography.
Evidence.
Evidence?
Put the evidence in the car. No.
No.
Smokey and the Bandit. It's a really good movie.
Obscure reference. Why does my Mac keep not letting me empty my trash? It tells me files are in use and they're not open or they're in my trash. I can't empty my trash.
When did you last reboot it?
It's been a while, but if I reboot it, I know it'll fix it. I know right. If I reboot it, it'll fix it. But
well, there you go.
Sometimes with Unix, though, you don't want to reboot. Like that's admitting defeat.
Yeah, Dwight.
It's not a religion. It's just software. So, reboot.
I'll
reboot. Refresh.
I just want to know why it's happening.
Because there is something that thinks it's using that. So,
but I hit Control Alt Delete and it doesn't bring up the task manager.
Or Alt Tab.
What's wrong with that?
Actually, Alt-Tab will on the
Alt-Tab will scroll through the different things, but it doesn't bring out the task manager.
No Alt. It's Command. Huh?
No, there's an Alt on the...
All right. Whatever.
On the Mac?
Dwight, you're less than helpful.
Well, that's... But that to hit the Alt, you got to hit the Option. No, that's not Alt. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the Alt key. That's the Option key.
What? You know, in many ways, I won't miss it.
But you got one more week before you don't miss it.
Yeah. All right, well,
I used to care about this show, but then I took a vacation.
I took a vacation in the knee. Well.
In the knees.
I was just driving through town caring about my job and...
cheating on my wife. All right, well, we're glad you tuned in. If you could, and you did, thank you. If you missed out because we weren't reaching in your area, we're sorry. Hopefully
we'll
next week.
We'll try better.
We'll do better next time. Hopefully next week, things back to pseudo normal and we will enjoy participating with you. You've been listening to Technology Bites. I'm Jay Lee.
I'm Peter Hughes.
I'm Flipted.
I'm Barrett.
I'm Dwight.
And he's
Groovehouse.
And he's. Yes.
Don't miss the 42nd Annual Houston International Festival Spotlighting Argentina, April 21st, 22nd, 28th, and 29th. Make the Chevron Argentina Living Museum your first stop. Tour a beautiful street scene reminiscent of Buenos Aires, see lovely tango presentations, and watch for Evita to make an appearance. Check out Green Mountain Energy Kids World with tons of fun children's activities. And don't miss the Bud Light World Music Stage, featuring top artists like Los Lonely Boys, War, Steel Pulse, and Galactic. Get discount tickets now online at ifest.org. Come downtown to the Houston International Festival, presented by KPFT Houston.
Saturday, April 21st at 7 p.m., Thoreau Woods Coffee House presents James Lee Stanley with Gene Young opening. This is a KPFT benefit concert. KPFT Board Chairman Robert Mark will be in attendance and have information about KPFT available. KPFT is heard generally at 90.1 FM and through its Huntsville repeater transmitter at 89.7 FM. Throwwood's Coffee House is located at 144 East Mosley Lane in Huntsville, Texas, 77340. From I-45 South, take exit 122, go north on Highway 75, Sam Houston Avenue. Shortly after you pass Southwood Drive, you will take a right on East Mosley Lane to the last building on the right. This is KPFT Houston.